All right, so let's hop in today. Everybody ready? So our family, for many, many years, probably the first 12 years of our boys' life, we would drive our giant conversion van. If you don't know what we've got, it's the Broughton Express. It's this giant conversion van, and I'm the cool pastor with a conversion van. That's right. I know you're jealous. And we would all hop into that conversion van, and we'd drive to Florida every summer. Now, that is a long drive. Anybody ever driven all the way down to Florida, right? It's like 16 hours, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you do it in one day and just get it done. Now, you're nuts, okay? So, like, more power to you. We couldn't do that, right? Especially with younger kids, it's like, no, we got to stop or somebody's dying, right? Like, we got to take a breather halfway. So we'd always stop in Charlotte, which is halfway point, spend the night, and then we'd do the rest of the trip. And luckily for us, we never broke down on the side of the road on any of our trips down to Florida. Now, I've seen vehicles broke down on the side of the highway on our way to Florida, and you just feel sorry, right? I don't know if you've ever seen that. Somebody that that they weren't thinking about it, but they all of a sudden get a flat tire. They have to pull off the road. And when you pack for a trip to Florida, it's not just like, you know, one handbag and that's it, right? Like, you're packed to the rim. The tires are already a little bit like this when you're driving. And then you see alongside the road everything out of the back of somebody's minivan, and it's in the ditch alongside of the road. And you see a flat tire, and your gut's just like, oh, I feel so bad. And you just keep driving, right? If you're the type of person that stops, you are an angel. That's awesome. If you have toddlers in the car, you just typically don't stop. You just, I got to keep trucking. But I always feel bad. Have any of you ever had a flat tire? Like, not even on trip. Anybody ever had a flat tire alongside the road, right? That's a bad day when that happens. Did you ever think about your spare tire before you got a flat tire? Probably not. Most of us don't even think about where it is. Does it have air in it? You know, is there a jack in the back of my trunk? Like, do I have everything I need to do this alongside of the road to make this happen? We don't think about the spare tire until we need it right in that moment, right? Now, with that idea in mind, thinking about spare tires, some of us treat our prayer life like a spare tire. I mean, we don't think about prayer until it's an emergency and our life is broken down alongside the road, and it's like, oh yeah, I've got this thing. Let me talk to God because I need help right now. And we treat God like that, or we treat prayer like that, right? That it's, and we've all done it, you know, in case of emergency, bust out prayer. You know, it even goes to the, all the way up to, you know, when something tragic happens in our country, they say, everybody pray. Well, shouldn't they have told us to do that before it happened, right? No, it only happens when an emergency happens. That's when they talk about it. Sometimes we treat prayer like emergency, an emergency spare tire. The problem is with a spare tire has limits to it. Did you know that? Like, those of you who put a spare tire on and you just kept flying on the highway at 70 miles per hour, if you kept trucking, you'd have another flat tire because they're not made to go that fast. It says right on it, go 50, maybe 55 miles per hour, and here's the mile limit that you should drive this thing. The whole point of a spare tire is to get you to the shop or to get you to the tire store, right? To get that fixed, and so then you can put the real tire back on. And I would say when we treat prayer that same way, emergency prayers work. God hears us. God always hears us. But if all we do is emergency pray, when it's only when a situation that's really difficult comes up, we're missing out on the fullness of fifth gear prayer. We're missing out on the depths of who we are talking to when we get to pray. Because I'd rather be the one that's already been prayed up and know what God's doing in my life, and I've already lifted up all the gears of prayer so that when the emergency comes, I'm already ready for it. Does that make sense? Is everybody with me? So I want to teach us today how to move from emergency to consistency and answer the question, why even pray? I know all of us in this space, we're not in a room. We're in God's room, all right? All of us here. We all have a different season of life we're in, right? We all have different season of our relationship with God. Some of us here, you guys have been a Christian a long time. You're like, Tim, you're just teaching me what I already know. That's awesome. It's good to be reminded what we already know sometimes so we can keep doing it. Some of us in this room are like, Tim, I'm just still kind of figuring out this God, or maybe I showed up on Sunday because something's just inside of me. I need a little boost. I need something. knowing his character. So today, this is a and, oh no, that was Ephesians 6. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians. Always pray. Continue. In all circumstances. I don't like what's happening. It is God's will for you in is to pray continually, be thankful in all circumstances. That is God's will for you and for me. And so we're called into what we talked about earlier, obedience and prayer. He wants us to talk to him. He wants to hear. Let's jump into who we're talking to so we can answer the question beyond this, why? We're doing it because we're doing it. Now, talk. Why should we pray? You can fill in the blanks on this one. I'm gonna just bang, 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 and we'll. Okay. What are you having? I want to know whose house I'm coming to. All right, what do you guys? I'm just kidding. So we're talking about the character of God, because to answer the question why should we pray, we first have to ask the question, who in the world we're praying to? Who is this God? Who is he? I mean, why does he want to talk to us? The first thing I want us to understand is that God is personal. You can write that down. Number one, our God is a personal God. Some people believe God is just this being out there in the universe and kind of holds things together, and it's kind of like uber spiritualism and kind of mysticism. And if that's him, then that stinks, because it means he doesn't care about me at all. It's just this force. But that's not who God is. God knows you personally, right? God, our God is a very, very personal God. He knows every bit of your life. And for some of us, that's like, dang it. You know, like, he knows that part too. But he knows all of it. And we see this, and I love this in Psalm 139, and some of you have, you know, read this and heard this verse so many different times. But this is why we know, this is how we can know he is a personal God. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. This is God. Like, he knows every single bit and piece of you. Your thought life, your prayer life, your relationships, the ways you messed up, the ways that he celebrates with you, the brokenness and the wholeness. Like, God is that's why he sent Jesus. How much more personal can you get? God sending his son to die on a cross for our sins, to make the way for us to be with him. He paid the way for him to be personal with us. That's what God did. So everybody say it with me. God is personal. Ready? God is personal. Absolutely is personal, okay? You guys have heard this quote. I think it's a C.S. Lewis quote. What you think about God is the most important thing about who you are, right? And we want to know what we think about God so that we know who we're talking to. So number one, God is personal. Number two, God is all loving. God is all loving. The fancy word is omnibenevolent, all right? All loving. This is his, he's all goodness. He's all kindness. He is for you, right? Like, he is love. again, a lot of people may see God as the great smiter of all smiters, right? Like he wants to crush and he wants to judge and he wants to smush and he wants to, like, he wants to hold people back and make people feel guilty. But that's not who he is. God is love. Let me read a couple of passages for you. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. What comes from him, every good and every perfect gift is from him. He is loving. He's kind. He's good, right? He has everything in heaven, and he offers it and gives it to us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Can I get an amen on that one? Like, he loves you so much that he wants to do that. And then in 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is, say it with me, love. God is love. It's not just a descriptor of him. He is it. If you look in the dictionary of love, it should be a picture of God. Because that is who he is. He is omnibenevolent. He is all loving. Is that a good God to pray to? Right? Like a God who loves you and wants to know you. He's not just out there, ooh-gly-booly. Like that's not, he's right here. He's in your life. And he has good stuff for you in his life. All right, let's keep going. Number three, I told you I was going to fly through these. Number three, so God is personal, God is all-loving, and God is all-powerful. This is the word omnipotent, right? This is the fancy, you know, theological word, omnipotent. All-powerful, meaning there, he lacks no power. When you think about a ruler over a kingdom that can make any decision they want, and it gets put in place, we've seen that in kingdoms all throughout history, but God is all-powerful above all powers that have ever existed on this planet. He is all-powerful. He has all power. He spoke everything into existence. By his word, we were created. That's amazing. And that all-powerful God has all power for you and in our lives. We see this in Luke 18. It says, Jesus replied, this is an interesting quote. So Jesus is actually talking about rich people to his disciples, and he's like, the rich people have a hard time getting to heaven. And some people equate that like, so rich people are all going to hell. No. Because then he brings it up with this verse. Because he's like, so does that mean everybody's? No. Because Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. I mean, God takes the impossible and will always make it possible. God is a God of possibilities. He's a God of all power and possibility. And some of us, when we see him, when we pray to him, we lack faith, right? Because we think he doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the answers to prayer, because those are the wrestling points with all of us, right? Because we pray something, but what if we hear no, or what if we don't hear anything, or what if it's like a maybe? What if, like, we wrestle with the answers? We're going to talk about the answers next week, okay? Is that okay? So push pause on the answers. All I want us to understand is who God is. He is all-powerful. He made everything, created everything. He knows you. He loves you, and he has all the power to do whatever he wants, which opens up all possibility in our life. You see why we should pray to this guy? We should pray to God. All right, God is all powerful. Say that with me. God is all powerful. All right. What am I on? Number four, God is wise and holy. God is wise and holy. Have any of you had somebody in your life that you could go just say, ask advice to, that you knew whatever they were going to say, you just wanted to put weight to it in your life? Has you ever had that? And I've had some of those people in my life where I'm like, I'm really struggling with something, or I don't know what's next, or I don't know what's going on, that like I knew if I go and at least have a conversation with them, there's going to be some wisdom. I'm going to want to take note. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to think about it, right? It's good to have wise people in our lives. If you don't have some wise people, maybe you have dumb people around you, go find some wise ones, all right? So, like, find the ones that will give you the right answers, not the ones that are, like, leading you down a path of destruction, right? Like, it's good to have wise people. Now imagine if that person had all the wisdom in all the world for all time. Would you want to go to that person, ask some advice? Heck yeah. That is God. God is all wisdom. He is wise. And he is holy. If you don't know what the word holy means, it means set apart. It means different than. Like God is different and set apart from any other being ever. So he is wise, he knows all things, and he is separate. There's nobody else you can go to that's like him who has his wisdom. So what it says in James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So he's telling us to pray for wisdom. He's saying, go pray to the God of all wisdom, ask him for the wisdom you need, and he will give it to you. Like, he will grant you that wisdom. So he's personal, he's loving, he's powerful, he is wise, he's holy. Last one. God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing, all right? Which is omniscient, right? This is another big word, omniscient. All-knowing. And this is the one where theologians start to wrestle with each other. This is where isms get created, okay? I'll talk about some of the isms, but this is where people start wrestling. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing, right? He's like he's better than the Wonderful Oz, all right? He's not just the guy behind the curtain that's pulling levers. Like, he is actually all-knowing. He knows everything that's going on. And in Romans, let me read Romans 11. It says this, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. He doesn't have a counselor. I need a counselor. I'm meeting with a counselor right now. I need a counselor. Like, y'all need, some of you need a counselor, but you don't think you need a counselor. You need a counselor, all right? We all need help. Knows it all already. God knows what happened in the past. He knows what's happening present. He knows what will be and what will happen in the future. And this is where our finite minds blow up, because we can't comprehend this kind of being. All we know is what was and what is, and we have some hopes for what will be, but we don't know. We don't know what's to come down the path. He is all knowing, really? Some of us wrestle with this one, because if he's all-knowing, then why did that bad thing happen? We'll talk about that next week, right? If he's all-knowing, then why did this bad thing happen to me? And then we wrestle with God in this. So we have this battle. If God is all-knowing, then why should we even pray? Because if he already knows what's going to happen, why should I talk to him about what's going to happen? Because it's already going to happen. So that seems like a pointless conversation. So why in the world do I pray if he already knows? Anybody ever have that question? Right? You can be honest. That's an honest question. It's a good one to wrestle with. I'm hoping to give you one answer today, because that's the biggest one. But let me remind us. If the only thing God was all-knowing, then it would be like Oz behind the curtain just controlling all the levers, and we have no choices. Things just happen. Right? But we have to look at the entire character of God, not just one aspect of the character of God. We put it all together. If we have a God who is personal, a God who is loving, a God who is powerful, a God who is wise and holy, and a God who knows it all, that's a God I want to talk to. Right? If he already knows what will be, I want to have a conversation about that. God, help me understand. You don't have to show me all of it. There's been people all throughout scriptures that we see prophets that God did actually show them what was going to happen, you know? And God revealed things, and they could barely handle it, honestly, just the little bit that they got. It was like, we can only handle, like, boop, little sections of what he already knows in his all-knowing, powerful, mighty person, right? So let's ask the question then. If God knows everything, then why in the world should I pray? Now, this is an argument, okay? This is an argument between some isms. I don't know what my next slide is. Okay, yeah, if God already knows what's going to happen, then why in the world should I pray about it? Why should I even talk to him about it? I don't know if you've heard of these terms. If you haven't, it's okay. I'm not going to go super deep into them, because, all right? Calvinism and Arminianism, okay? These are two isms. Now, just so you know where Pastor Tim lies. Pastor Tim lies in the middle of isms. I'm not a fan of isms. I'm not a fan when humans take theology, add their own term to it, and then start stockpiling arguments so they can have an argument against the other people that are stockpiling their arguments, so then they can have a lifetime of just arguing about theology. That doesn't make any sense to me. To me, it doesn't help me know the all-loving, all-powerful, almighty, you know, personal God. That just gets me kind of opposed to somebody else. And we see that all throughout history, you know, like the church creates an ism. So, well, we're this ism, and well, we're this ism. And we see even in the New Testament, it says, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, and I follow this person, I follow that person. It shouldn't be. We all follow Christ. Amen? No, I want a louder one. Amen? We all follow Christ. Like, we're not about isms. But when we're talking about this idea, that's where those isms come from. Because one, on one side, the Calvinists believe in predestination. God already knows, and he already knows what's going to happen, and so we're just going to deal with what comes, and it is what it is. And then you have this over here that's more about free will, and like, well, we have choices in it, and we're not really about the predestination, so we kind of lean one or the other way, and it creates this tension, because how can both exist in the same place? And I'm going to say there's something in the middle, okay? Because I believe in both, predestination, because I believe God knows yesterday, today, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. I have my own definition of predestination, and those of you who are theologians, we can have a conversation about it later, but when I think of the word predestination, predestiny, God knows what was before, and he knows what's going to be in the end, and I trust him in the middle. That's where I stand. And I believe in the middle is God's will and free will side by side. God has a plan. Are we robots? No. He doesn't take us and go like, burr, 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 right? Like, he doesn't do that to us. He allows us to make our own choices. He allows us to do the good things and do the bad things, to do the things that we can celebrate, to screw up the things that's like, oops, shouldn't have done that one. Or maybe we don't even know oops. It's just the way we've always lived, so we just live the way we live, and we don't realize the destruction it's doing in our life, right? And so God gives us free will to make choices. And the whole point of praying isn't to be like, God, you already know what's going to happen, so just let it happen. I'll just keep doing my thing over here. That's not how this works. God chose to give us free will, and he invites us into his plan. We all have a part to play in his plan. That was his choice. He chose people. Messed up, dirty, stanky people, right? Just like me. Like, he chose us to be a part of his plan in this broken world that we live in. That's why Jesus, when he left, he said, okay, I'm starting this thing. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And just so you know, the Holy Spirit isn't just like this little localized thing. Now the Holy Spirit's going to be in all believers. So all of you who are in Christ Jesus have the power of God in you. Now we're invited into the kingdom of heaven to then bring that to the kingdom of this world. That's the invitation. And he asks us then to bring that kingdom to this world by doing what? Loving God and loving others. That's what Jesus said, the main commandments. Love God, love others. And so he has his will and desire for this world, and he chooses us to be the conduit of that being lived out in this world to others. We become ambassadors of Christ Jesus. I think it says it somewhere in the Bible. And so I believe in predestination. God knows, but I believe in free will. He wants. The question is, what does he want? What does he want? He doesn't want us to be conformed, meaning he doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to be empowered in a personal relationship with the one who is all-loving, all-knowing, all-caring, all-personal, all-wise, all-holy, so that we can look more like the kingdom of heaven. And I just need you to know, I need to talk to him about that, because I am not Jesus. There are things in my life that are disconnects, right? As I'm trying to figure this out, as I walk with him. So when I ask the question, then why should we pray? If that is God, why should we pray? Our responsibility in prayer isn't the answer, okay? This is a fill in the blank. You can write this down. Our responsibility isn't in the answer. It's in the praying. We do our part and allow him to do his part. That's why we pray. Our part isn't the answer. Our part is the praying. Our part is the listening. Our part is speaking and relating with God. It's the personal part of God. And his part is whatever he wants to do and whatever he sees needs to be done that we, in our finite brains, will never understand. We might understand parts of it. We may understand parts of what he wants us to do in it. And that's when we start talking about God's will. Does anybody want to know God's will for your life? Yeah, okay, we're doing a whole series on that in October. So if you want to know that, I'll give you the answer, all right? I'm just kidding. So this is God's will. We do know in Scripture there are very specific things. This is God's will. We just read it. But we're going to give you a whole series to understand what God's will is for you and how to find it, how to live into it, his specific will, his perfect will, his moral will, like all those kind of things we're going to talk about. So if you're waiting for that one, you can wait just a few more months, okay? But what is his goal? If we're talking to him, we're praying to him, we need to understand his goal for us. God's goal is a relationship with you. That's my answer in prayer. Why pray? The end goal is a relationship with you. That's the end goal of prayer. God wants to know how you're doing. And you say, well, he already knows how I'm doing. Yeah, but he wants you to tell him how you're doing. Do we have any parents? We got some parents in the house? All right, show your hands, parents. So, parents in the house, do you know what your kid needs before they need it? I hope so, right? Like, moms have superpowers, okay? Dads have some, but moms have like superpowers, right? Because moms, like, if the kids are out playing and they come inside and the kids are like, wow, there's already like Kool-Aid on the counter. And it's like, mom knew we were gonna be thirsty. Yeah, because your mom cares about you and wants to make sure you're taken care of and you have something to drink when you're thirsty, right? Like, we think about the simplicity of that relationship of a parent to a child. That is that prayer life with our Heavenly Father. I love when Jesus this is in my notes, so I'm just going off here. Like, there's a phrase in Scripture where we hear that we can pray, Abba, Father. And this word Abba it's not the band, okay? So it's not that. It's a very personal word. It's like saying daddy. It's like papa. When we pray, we get to pray to our papa, to our Heavenly Father. And he already knows what we need. He already knows what's going on, but he wants to know from you. He wants to know how you're feeling about it. He wants to know what you're struggling with. He wants to know your story from you so that you can know he knows you. And so that when you ask him something, it wasn't because I got a flat tire. It's because I just need to come to my dad. He's got wisdom. I know he loves me. I know he's personal. I just want him to work, and I need to understand some things, right? When we think about prayer, I want you to think about a relationship between a husband and a wife. Imagine a young couple gets married and they're all excited and finally get to the wedding day and they get married and they start living life and they're living in the same house together, but the husband just decides, you know what, I'm not going to really come home that much. I'm going to work and then I'm just going to hang out. Maybe I'll stay at a buddy's house. And the husband just like really doesn't even talk to his wife very often. Really the only time, and then he might swing by the house because he needs something from her. Like, he wants something. So, hey, I need this. And then he just leaves and that's just how they do their marriage. That's just how they do it. Would you call that a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship? No, right? Something's off. It's very similar with us and God. When we just come in emergencies, we just come to him when we want something. He wants to know you more than that. And he wants to be known by you more than that. He wants a relationship with you. A daily conversation. How are things going? And I love what Nikki taught us last week, some very practical ways how to do that. How to create a routine and a habit, right? A habit shows your priorities. And so a habit of prayer, daily prayer, shows a priority of God and a relationship in your life. It just does. And for some of you, that's why you're driving in your car. That's when I pray a lot, when I'm driving. I don't listen to music very much. My commute is about 7 minutes, so I can't even get through like 1.5 songs anyways. So my commute to work, I pray for 7 minutes. And I just talk to God. God, this is my day. This is what's going on today. This is what I'm worried about today. This is what I'm stressed out about. And I just offered it to him in a conversation. And for me personally, and many of you probably can amen this, the days I skip that and I just don't even have that brief conversation with my Heavenly Father, my day is a lot harder. I wrestle with things that I wouldn't have wrestled with, and I just try to have to bear through some things. Like, when I stop and I just do that and I just have a conversation with this God, he says, oh, I know, Tim. I want to help. And then there's the other part of it, which is spiritual, that God can put spiritual things in place that we cannot see or have any control over. So we talked about battle. We're all in a battle. There's a spiritual realm of darkness that's trying to take over people and take over lives, and Satan, our enemy, is roaring around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. That's what we read in Scripture. And with that, we need to understand that when we pray and we say, God, I need help with this or this circumstance, or I want you to break something over here that shouldn't be there, he's the only one that has the power to assign the angels to fight on my behalf. I'd rather talk to the general that can make the call to send the army. And some days you need to start your day that way, right? I know I'm going into battle today, God. I know I'm digging into something, or I'm going to a relationship that's difficult, that I know there's something spiritual going on. And you just ask him, God, send your angel armies. I don't know what's going to happen. You do what I cannot, and I'm going to trust you in the process. And so when we pray, we do move heaven and earth. We request from this God, and he wants to answer. He wants to speak, and he wants to lead us. So here's my wrap-up question. How is your time with God? It's a simple question. How's your time with God? How's your prayer life? Are you talking to him? I'm going to tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, we are giving you guys all the tools that we can to help you do that. That's why we're giving you these prayer devotionals to help just spark that in your life. And like I said, after the gathering, grab one of those prayer devotionals and take it home with you and start using it to start a habit, all right? If you do something for 21 days, there's science behind this, and I don't know, there's 21 days. If you do something 21 days in a row, it starts to become a habit, and then you just keep doing it. So set yourself a goal for 21 days. For 3 weeks, I'm going to do this. I'm going to focus on prayer. And then all of a sudden, you'll be doing it without thinking about it. You just start, and you start talking to God about what's going on in your life, okay? The other thing that we have this week is we actually have these life journals. They came in last week. Woo! All right? And so in these life journals that we have available for sale, we've got the ring binders are $5. The fancier ones are $10. And inside, there is some tools that you can use. A lot of it's just empty journal, but it has a reading plan. If you want to get into God's Word, I encourage you to do that. And so you can read through the Bible in a year. And there's also an express version, which is a little bit easier to read through the Bible. There's the soap method, clean your soul, right, kind of stuff. Soap is Scripture. So you read a passage, can be long or short. Observation, you just journal one thing you observe about that verse, right? Something that kind of hits you when you read it. Application, what's it asking you to do? Or what do you need to do because of what you just read? And then prayer. And that's where you start prayer and you start journaling. God, these are the things I want to pray for. And if you want to take it to the next step, you do what Nikki said last week. And you do a Monday through, you know, Saturday. I'm praying for these things on Monday, these things on Tuesday, these things on Thursday, and just go through the week. And you can do that in those journals. So some of you just need something nice in your hand to give you the habit. So I'd encourage you, grab one of those. So I think we're only doing cash or check. So we have somebody who's going to be at that table. Sandy's going to be standing up there after the gathering. So if you want to grab one of those, you can grab one of those. But my encouragement to you is start the habit, get into it, start praying, start talking to him, see what happens in your life, and see how he starts moving. All right? So today, God is personal. He's all loving. He's all powerful. He's wise. He's holy. And he's all knowing. And he wants a relationship with you. And that's why we pray. Would you guys pray with me? Let's wrap it up. God, I thank you that you are a God who is personal. God, I'm going to pray against any roadblocks in our lives that would hold us back. I'm praying during this season that you break some strongholds in people's lives, things that have held them too long captive, that have pulled them away from you, away from your truth, away from prayer, away from your church body. Just, I pray that you break some of those things right now. I'm asking, God, that as we as a church start praying, that we will learn as a church body to be a people of obedience and faith. I can't imagine what you want to do and what you want to do in our community and what you want to do to bring heaven to earth, but so often we become the limiting factor. So I'm going to ask, God, and I've prayed this for so many years for our church, do what you want to do so you can, or do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do in our church family. And we pray that and trust that you might break some things we don't want broken, but you're going to free some things that need freed, and you're going to move heaven to earth in a new and fresh way that we can hope to people around us who need it badly. Let us be a light. In Christ's name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Awesome.